I remember years ago when we lived in Texas, in the summers I would sometimes work for some of the local farmers, the brethren from the congregation that did farming, and their main crops were cotton and maize and what was the other one? Maybe corn. I think it was corn. But they had all of these fields, and as far as you could see, you know, there was all these fields, and some of them they would water with these watering systems that were on a hub, and they would just go in a large circle very slowly, and you know, lots and lots of crops as far as you could see. But I mean, you think about where we've come over time, the ability to sow massive amounts of seed versus just in the olden days, you know, hand sowing in a manageable plot, however large that would have been. But now, you know, you have thousands and thousands of acres that people farm. It makes us think about the great importance of this work of sowing seed in a spiritual sense, our work, our task as God's people. And we do it locally. We do it on a worldwide scale. You know, these various mission efforts that use the media to spread the gospel through shortwave radio, it could be television, lots of different means. And all of this is a part of the overall task of sowing so that we might reap the harvest of souls. But think about it on a very personal level in terms of our own choices and our own lives. In other words, the things that I do on a daily basis, if they're good things, I'm sowing according to the ways of the Spirit. So I might go sow kindness today, and I'm showing kindness to someone. I might sow seeds of benevolence. I might sow seeds of patience, you might say, when you're dealing with different issues in life and hard times that you're having to deal with at work, maybe at school, maybe with family matters that come up. But there's lots of various things that we sow, and when we sow, the quality and the quantity, we're going to reap accordingly. Now, when it comes to the quality of what we sow, Paul talks about that in Galatians chapter 6. You can either sow to the flesh or you can sow to the Spirit. Now, the quality there is opposite extremes. You sow to the flesh. That means you engage in the physical, material things relating to this life. It might be the pleasures. It might be the lust of the flesh. It might be the lust of the eye. It might be the pride of life in those categories. But when you sow to that, what does he say? Verse 7 of Galatians 6, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. In other words, you can't expect to sow according to the flesh, but somehow God's going to come around and just excuse all of that sowing. And we're going to be able to reap according to the Spirit. The good things? No, that's not how it works, he says. God is not mocked. You can't do it one way and then receive all the blessings that come to those who actually sow according to the Spirit. Verse 8, he continues the thought, for he who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. That's a sad reality. But we see it all around us in our world today. Think about the people who live a very promiscuous lifestyle. They don't respect what God says about sex being something only permissible and proper within the marriage relationship. And so all kinds of immorality and ungodliness going on in the world, and people are actually reaping the consequences of that. There's all kinds of diseases that fall upon those who do those things, including the homosexual community as well. It's terrible and it's tragic, but it's not necessary if people would just take the course that God has given in His Word. Because we're spared from so much, even in this life, heartache and trouble and grief, if we take the proper course. Now, it's not to say that a person who lives a faithful Christian life is not going to go through hardship. He will, but of a different sense and of a different nature. You'll suffer like Christ suffered for doing good. But you will not reap the consequences of an immoral lifestyle when you're living a moral and faithful and godly lifestyle. That's not the way it works. But here he tells us this is a truth that we need to think about. But how much worse to think about not just suffering some disease because I've become immoral, but what about the spiritual consequences, which are far worse? In fact, it could be said that God allows people to suffer the consequences of their physical waywardness from His laws, that they might stop and consider the far more serious consequences that await them spiritually if they don't get their lives right before the judgment day comes or before the Lord returns. And so to remember this vital truth is so important. He who sows to his flesh will of his flesh reap corruption. It doesn't matter what the sin is, we will reap as we have sown. We may feel like, hey, everything's going great, nothing bad is happening to me in my life. But that's not going to be the reality that we're going to face with in the end. We will sow according to, or reap according to the flesh when we sow in that manner. But, he says, middle part of verse 8, he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. What does that look like? That looks like beginning one's day with prayer to God, studying the Scriptures, driving to work, observing the speed limit, working as a devout and faithful worker, giving 110%, you're doing your best. You're going the extra mile for your boss. You're living that kind of life. You go home at the end of the day and you're with your wife and your children, you're with your family, husband, wife, children, maybe grandparents might be in the picture as well, who knows, but you're with your family and you sit down together and you have a meal together and you give thanks to God for the blessings He provided for you. You might study the Scriptures together that evening as well. You pillow your head and you're in prayer to God once again. All kinds of things, but here is a different kind of life. It's a life with a spiritual focus. It is a life that remembers wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, I'm a servant of God, and I'm going to take advantage of opportunities, maybe even create opportunities to do God's will today, because I want to sow according to the Spirit, because I know I'm going to reap the same. I'm going to reap in terms of the quality of what I do. I'm sowing according to the Spirit. What about the quantity? That's a true point as well in the Scriptures, that when you sow abundantly, you will also reap abundantly. And so think in those terms. As one who is a spiritually minded person, if I'm going to go throughout my day thinking of spiritual things that I'm going to be doing, how much time am I investing in my study of God's Word? That's a really practical way of thinking about sowing and then reaping the same. If I put very little time into studying God's Word, I can expect to reap very little. But if I set aside time and I put away from myself less important things that are not necessary, that are not essential, and instead in their place I say, you know what I'm going to do with that time? I'm going to study God's Word. I'm going to meditate upon the truth. That's going to be time well spent, and you're going to reap accordingly. You're going to become a better teacher of God's Word, filled with more knowledge of God's Word, better able to answer questions asked of you relating to God's Word. You're going to benefit. And others are also going to benefit, because now you are going to, from this bounty that you have sown and then reaped, you're going to be able to give a whole lot because you have so much more to give. What a beautiful picture. And then he reminds us in verse 9 of this, and let us not grow weary while doing good. It's hard work to be a diligent servant of God who is sowing according to the Spirit and doing so in great measure. That's a hard, hard work to do. And yet he says, don't get tired of it. Don't grow weary while you're doing it. For look, in due season we will reap if we do not lose heart. He says that final statement because it's very easy to get discouraged, you know, to feel weary, to feel like, you know, I'm doing all this, putting forth all this effort, and what do I have to show for it? But he says, don't give up. Remember that God is going to give the increase in time according to His will. You know, Noah, can you imagine how discouraging that might be? It says he was a preacher of righteousness all those years that he was preparing that ark, trying to reach people. Only his family. That was it. Couldn't reach anybody else with the message of repent because judgment is coming. And yet, there was a man who was faithful to God and preserved by God and saw the blessings on the other side of that flood, a new world, a new life, and he began to serve God on the other side of the flood as one of God's devout servants. We need to remember to keep on keeping on. And we're reminded in verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In terms of sowing and reaping, remember the good that can be done here. You can sow in good works to everyone, especially, he says, your brothers and sisters in Christ. That can involve spiritual matters, that can involve physical matters, but there's much good work to be done, and it's going to be well worth the effort. And let our hearts, our minds, first be filled with the desire to do those things, and then our actions follow suit into putting them into practice. Paul had to urge the church in Corinth to fulfill what they had committed to do. They had committed to and wanted to be a part of giving for the good work of helping the saints in Jerusalem. But he had to write to them and say, hey, you know, this is what you committed to do. You need to get around to doing it. And sometimes we need those reminders because it's good to have good plans, but we have to then put those plans into action. And we will reap abundantly, God says. So much awaiting us. There's a promised place and a great reward awaiting each and every one of us. Let's remember these words and live according to them. If you're not a child of God tonight, remember that He calls you through His Word to obey a simple plan that He's set forth, a means by which all your sins can be forgiven, and you can become a part of God's family, beginning with faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Believe that He is the Savior of the world, and then turn from your sins toward Him, toward living a life devoted to His will. Remember that confession is required as well, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10. There we know that belief is in the heart, but confession with the mouth is made unto salvation. And then there's baptism, the act of being immersed in water so that sins can be washed by Jesus' blood, and then live that faithful life. If you have strayed from the faith, if you need to be more committed to doing His will, be a more faithful worker, whatever your needs are, we can pray for you and help you tonight as we stand and sing.